Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
ear.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest in the building with us this morning. Guest, I should say. Miss Janelle Monae, and you brought your artist.
That's because he can't pronounce his
Jidenna.
Name.
Jidenna.
Jidenna.
Oh, Jidenna.
Oh, okay, okay.
Janelle Monae. Yes, Jidenna.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning,
Namaste,
guys.
Janelle.
How y'all doing? It's good to see you
again.
Good to see you again.
I was stalking your Instagram. I saw you taking yoga. That's why I said namaste.
Thank you.
Yes.
Namaste. Mm-hmm. Right back.
All right, well, Jidenna, you're from Brooklyn. You're from Flatbush, actually.
He's from everywhere.
I'm from a lot of places.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not an Army brat, but I was born in Wisconsin, grew up in Nigeria, Boston, California, work in Atlanta, but I live in East Flatbush.
That's
now.
Confusing.
You look like you came out of a time machine fresh out of the Malcolm X movie, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Absolutely.
Well, explain your look to the people, because you got the thing you got up top is it was like a curl.
The finger
thing
curl.
You got up top.
Yeah, look like you're ready to run for office.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
I am.
What is that?
That's a finger curl.
You do that every morning? You finger it?
I have to.
Finger it? Why
wow.
did you say it like that?
Cancel,
wow.
cancel, bro.
Wow. Wow. You're not like that. I'm talking about the curl. The curl.
Absolutely, yeah.
I can't see because it's this whole screen stuff. Okay.
I mean, the look came out of studying the Jim Crow era, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like we live in the new Jim Crow right now. You know, the media is really catching wind of it, but it's been going on for a long time. So I just studied how men really carried themselves in that era and then formed what we see now.
You even got the pocket watch. Now, let me tell you something. It's hard to pull that off.
Yeah.
You got to be a certain distinctive type of brother, a certain amount of elegance to pull off the
wow,
pocket.
Wow, Charlamagne uses pocket big watch. Words. He's not using the N-word. Wow, you're impressed.
He always uses the big words.
Exactly. Gosh.
Now, what's the classic man? That's your single right now. The classic. What is the classic man?
Classic man is a man who carries himself with dignity, a certain amount of poise, discretion, excellent taste. I meet a lot of classic men. I think you all are classic men as well.
No. Angela, you included.
Well, I'm not.
You know, I believe that it really is a celebration of integrity. And a lot of the OGs that I grew up admiring really held themselves in a certain regard, especially when I lived in L.A., in South Central, a lot of them, you know, they got their chest up like this, button all the way up top. Those are the men that really inspired me.
I took it as classy, but you whoop somebody's ass hearing the song.
Yeah, you're not afraid to roll up your sleeves.
You throw a couple of curses out there, they'll be like, boy, I'm dressed up in a suit, but I will whoop your ass.
I mean, that's how it's been. That's how it's been. It's only recently, you know, hip-hop era that we started to dress down, if you will.
Right. And not you dressed like true. That as a kid?
As a kid?
Yeah, like as a youngin', you dressed like that as
no,
well?
No, definitely uh-oh. Not. I wish I could say I did, but I definitely didn't. Mm-hmm. I had my fitted as a kid. I had my Tim's. Okay. I had my it wasn't a V-neck back then. You just had a little T-shirt, your jeans.
That's why you shouldn't stereotype people, because you see the guy in Tim's and jeans sagging his pants, be like, oh, I'm going to stay away from him. But he'd be the soft one. He'd be the dude in the suit that stop you out with the hard bottom.
Right.
Absolutely.
So Charlamagne's calling himself the soft one, and you are the one that's
I'm not saying right. nothing. I just said you shouldn't stereotype. See, you don't listen all the way through. Now, Janelle,
well, I'm saying it.
Wonderland Records, that's your own label.
Yes.
What made you want to start your own label?
Well, I mean, I came up from, you know, Puff. Diddy gave me my
start. Talk to the mic.
Okay.
There you go.
Sorry, look. Yes. So I'm ready to give back. A lot of people helped me get to where I am. And I've always had my imprint, but we didn't have distribution. Mm-hmm. And so once I felt like there was a void in having female business people who know talent when they see it, able to see visionary artists and see something remarkable like Jidenna, I wanted to make sure that I was the one leading the way for that.
Right.
And so I spent a lot of time last year just really humbling myself. Like, it would be Jidenna, an artist, a few other artists, and we would literally just sleep on the floor, cook for each other, and just write music and have conversations about the music industry, about minorities, about what was going on, you know, in today, and how we could help. And as I humbled myself, I just... A lot of great opportunities started to come to me.
Now, you said humble yourself. Was you feeling yourself?
Not that.
Okay.
It's just that I've always been a humble person, but you know, you just want to go back to the roots. Like, okay, what does this mean? You know, I have great leadership qualities. I'm in a very great place in my career where I'm releasing the music that I want to. I have influence.
Right.
What else can I do? And so I've just been excited about Wonderland Records and what we're going to do
How did you meet
in the
them?
Music industry. Actually, I met Jadenna at a masquerade.
I don't believe that. I believe that you were time traveling because you said you like.
You know what?
And we can in the Jim Crow era.
We can go exactly. You know what? We always have our clones. Gotcha. You know, so my clone did most definitely meet him in that Jim Crow era. But no, we really met at a masquerade on the West Coast.
But he invited you, I heard, through MySpace.
Yep, through MySpace.
So
this is when I first
to get you to come to their parties. And
no,
you MySpace?
I was performing.
Well, I don't think people.
I was
are,
about
yeah.
my business.
Oh, why are you still on MySpace?
That was when I was on MySpace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yesterday. So I've known him. I've known Jadenna for years.
Okay.
Yeah. So when we met at the masquerade, mm-hmm. face paint. Mm-hmm. It was crazy, mm-hmm. and we ended up just feeling our kindred spirits mm-hmm. and understanding what our purpose was, and we've kept in contact. And when I got into the position to help him with his career, I did it.
Now, you've always had the Wonderland Collective, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so now doing the label, what made you decide, you know, to go with Epic, with L.A. Reid? Did you guys already have a relationship?
Well, L.A. had been a fan of mine for a while, and I had recently reconnected with him at an Outkast show. Mm-hmm. And so he was just really excited. He pushed me up on stage. He was like, I just, you know, love you, and I want to figure out what we can do together. And when I reached out to him and told him I had something very special group of artists for him to meet, he instantly fell in love, offered us a deal.
This is, yeah, because he's L.A. Yeah. Reid style.
He'll be like, you're not leaving the building until we get this deal done.
And I need to know who does your suits too, young man.
Right. Yeah, he was not playing. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm not missing this opportunity to pass up an opportunity to be in business with Janelle Monáe.
Now, when you said you first met, were you guys attracted to each other, or was it just because somebody hit you on MySpace and you go to parties, not just, you know, I want to hear his music, it was no attraction?
Well, I was performing at the party. He was also okay. performing. Mm-hmm. So I was about my business then, and I'm still about my business
there
now.
There you go.
Now. Now.
So with that said, with that said, with that said.
See, would you have asked that if it was a man who was going to another man perform?
I was
going
to ask him
if
he was
attracted to each other.
What? Yeah. I'm just asking.
I understood your question.
All right.
Listen, Jadenna is nice looking. And any woman watching this right now, I hope y'all can see that and realize why I did sign him. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, again, visionary artists, people who have ideas as well as vision. Mm-hmm. I think that what he's doing right now is going to be something that the music industry and the hip hop industry has not seen. He has a different perspective. His story is very unique. And the way that he tells his stories lyrically as a rapper.
Oh, so you rap?
You didn't hear
him. Yeah, I was an MC before anything.
So I know I haven't heard.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
You got to listen.
This guy's crazy.
But it seems like you can sing as well from the record. I mean,
Yeah, I mean that's where hip hop is now, though, right? It's all melodic.
Right.
So I think that we are at a different phase in hip hop where the old school really did not embrace melody in the way that the new school is embracing it now. So absolutely, you know, I walk that line.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard you refer to your music as swanky. That's usually a term reserved for fashion.
Yeah.
So what does swanky mean?
Well, the music is called swank.
Okay.
Swanky means classy and funky. And so I believe swank to be a sound that's really the evolution, the next stage of hip hop. It violates certain rules, like I said, like a full embrace of melody. The culture really is about going to a party dressed to the nines, but then sweating out your dress, mm-hmm. sweating out your suit.
Give me some examples. I'm thinking Andre 3000 for some reason. Would he be considered swanky?
Yeah, he's definitely swanky.
Gotcha.
You know, I think Outkast has a lot of that sound that really made you feel that vibe. I feel that there's Pharrell and Jay-Z, especially when they collabed, would make you feel that. So it's not something that comes out of nowhere. You know, I definitely respect everybody that inspired the sound and the culture.
Now, the song is dope. The song is dope, by the way.
Thank you, appreciate it.
It's different. It's nothing like you heard on radio before.
And okay. The video is, too.
The video was dope. But did you get nervous at all because it's not like
I saw
anything?
The video.
It's not that bounce. It's not that New York, you know, boom bap sound. It's
no,
totally
no, no, no. We knew it was special, you know, mm-hmm. when we wrote it. I mean, we wrote, Jadenna wrote Classic Man. We were there when he was writing it, and the rest, Nana, who's mm-hmm. also part of the production team, and Roman, who's another artist on Wonderland Records, mm-hmm. when they were writing it, we knew it was special. Mm-hmm. And that's what we move on. You know, we knew it was remarkable. We knew that we hadn't heard men speaking in that way. singing in that way, rapping in that way. Mm-hmm. And so I was excited because we were going to be bringing something special.
It seemed like a party all night in the studio. That seemed like that session seemed fun.
It really was. Yeah, it was. I mean, everybody just got in. I mean, we was fixing special drinks mm-hmm. for each other. We had a good time during the process of writing this music.
Well, working on this EP, I picture, like, did y'all all, like, stay in the house together? I don't know why I picture this, but with Wonderland, I know you said you had to humble yourself and take it back to that, you know, sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
Was everybody there together for, like, months working in the house?
We were. It was in Wonderland, and we, again, literally on the floor. Nobody slept in a bed. Mm-hmm. We were like, we're going to take it back to the basics. Mm-hmm. And it really helped our process. I wasn't in no tuxedo. You know, nobody was really themselves as the world perceived them to be. Mm-hmm. When we came into Wonderland, we just stripped that away and we focused in on the music and the ideas and really collaborating with each other and not being afraid. Mm-hmm. Like, I will say, this process in writing Ephes has made me a more experimental artist. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm experimenting with new sounds, new ideas, new concepts. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really inspired to repeat anything that I've done. So I'm excited for you guys to hear that too, because
like,
my contribution is different.
Do you guys videotape any of that, or is it super private?
She had us in white tunics on the grass.
Oh, God.
What the hell is a tunic?
We agreed.
A tunic? You don't know.
Go on 116th Street. You know what a tunic is.
No, I don't. What's a tunic?
You know that.
I don't know what a tunic is.
It's really, when everybody was wearing the quadruple XL shirts.
Oh, the long that, white tees. Got you.
I mean, a tunic is what that was right. trying to be. But we were all dressed in tunics on this in the grass in Wonderland.
Gotcha.
So we definitely filmed.
Because we didn't feel like, who feels like, you know, you go to bed at 5 in the morning trying to get dressed. Mm-hmm. It's just like, wear that. Sometimes we didn't bathe. We slept
goodness
in
gracious.
That,
whoa,
got
whoa, whoa,
up.
Whoa.
We didn't. We were focused on ideas. Yeah. We were focused on music. We were really saying, look, if we're going to do this, we got to do it. Don't come in here trying to slick your hair down. Don't.
Why not wash?
I don't know.
That might mess up.
Because we didn't want to wash off the phone. Oh. We didn't want to wash that off. We got to keep that. You keep that in the music.
Now, are you ready for the stress of being an executive? Because you've been an artist, and how artists can get disgruntled and like, when my album coming out? I don't want to do it like this.
Sure. I think that I've always known, like, again, I've known Jadena. We have a duo named Deep Cotton, Roman, Saint Beauty. These have been my friends for a really long time. They've helped with my project. So it's organic, our relationship. And I'm more like, I'm in the music industry. I'm here if you need any questions answered, if you have any concerns. And I just want to also say that it was inspired by a dream that we had. There was a dream that we had that we were swimming to this boat. And
all of us.
Wow. Nate, the producer, brought it to us, and we kept talking about, like, water kept coming up in our minds. And there was this dream that we had of the artist swimming, and we were all swimming to this boat, and no artist, no person was going to be left behind. And this was before I talked, this was a year before I talked to L.A. Reid. Mm-hmm. So we were not even thinking about a label deal. We were just saying, as a collective, we wanted to create more water to redefine the creative the creative waters within mm-hmm. the music industry. And so when we got that offer with LA, Then a year later, we went to Mexico mm-hmm. and literally had a water experience where all of us were there. We got stung by jellyfish. We were trying to swim. It was a mess.
Really?
Yes. And so the dream kind of happened. Mm-hmm. And it taught us, you know, there were people who couldn't swim as much as others. They hadn't felt what it felt like to get stung by a jellyfish. Mm-hmm. We had to put each other on our backs. And, like, some people were dipping each other down in the water just trying to help everybody get to land because we all were freaking out.
Now, most people were just out to audition to get signed to a label. You all got to get stung by jellyfish.
You got to go through it. You got to go through it.
Got you.
It was harder than making of the band.
Because one of the things that I had the opportunity to meet Jimmy Iovine, and I talked to him, and he said, you guys, don't mess up the vibe that you guys have. Mm-hmm. There are going to be people who say, you know, oh, such and such, we can do this for you, mm-hmm. or you're not doing this right. You should leave them. And, you know, that's what happens in the music industry. People want to divide. And those experiences taught us that we came here together. We got to stick together. When you see your brother or sister, you know, off message or just out not remembering what, mm-hmm. what we're doing this for, it's up to you to put them on your back and take them to land. Mm. Don't let them drown.
Now, Jadena, do you get to save money? Because you got an expensive habit over there. Like, sneakers are about $100.
That ain't cheap what you wearing, bro.
Them suits are expensive,
pocket
bro.
Watches.
They're like, that's an expensive habit.
Your hair alone. And that beard is very well kept, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. No, it looks a lot more expensive than it is. Mm-hmm. The style developed from thrift shops and thrifting. Mm-hmm. I couldn't keep up with the trends. Everybody's spending $60, $70 on T-shirts nowadays. Right. So I was like, okay, let me do something else. Go to thrift shops. You see a suit. Buy that suit for $5, $10.
Ah.
You go upstate, though. Yeah. Upstate New York. Not here nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Like Buffalo?
You got to go up. Go to Canada if you can.
Gotcha.
You get that suit, and you really spend money on the local tailors, mm-hmm. you know, a little mom and pop shop, and all of a sudden you've only spent about $50, and you have yourself a new suit.
Ah.
So it looks a lot more expensive than it is. All the suits, the majority of the suits that I wear were designed and styled by Whipple Wiley, who's on my team, and a lot of the pocket squares and the ties were designed by Kateri. So it's predominantly in house.
Are you a designer?
I am. Okay. I co-design. I'm not a stylist.
Got you.
But but I got style.
Now, is it true that you have a slogan, come in dry and leave wet?
Almost. It's come dry and leave wet.
Why put that kind of pressure on yourself? You should undersell and over-deliver.
Undersell. Lower your expectations, heighten your appreciation.
Right. Well, we have soirees that we host. And at those soirees, we have women coming in backless dresses. We have men coming in knickers. And they come dressed to the nines, and they come dry, but we want to make sure you sweat.
Right, have like, a good time.
Yeah, our generation.
You've been thinking something else.
Man, my mind was all
I know where
together.
You were. I know. You was in the late night.
I'm like, oh,
he stereotypes. Okay.
You was in the 3 a.m. category of your mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about our generation really letting loose. And that's what Wonderland, that's why I'm at Wonderland Records, mm-hmm. because Wonderland's not afraid to let loose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, you go to a party, everybody turn up for like 2 seconds and laugh, and then check their phone.
Table dance.
Yeah. We don't know what it's like. I listen to my sisters; they talk about the '80s, the '70s. Mm. My mom talking about the '60s. Mm. Everybody used to really actually cut loose. Yeah. So that's what come dry, leave wet means.
Well, you said it. The clothes are too expensive now. If I'm going to the thrift shop buying a $50 suit, I'm not afraid to sweat that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, in your video, there's a scene where cops are harassing or arresting a young African American.
Right.
And you guys walk up. What does that represent?
It represents what's going on and has been going on in New York City.
Because you stopped the cop and started talking to the cop during the arrest. I said, man, this going to end bad.
Well, it ended. I don't think it ended bad. I hope it didn't end bad in the video. It hasn't ended badly in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I've often found friends on the police force. You know, the officers that I think really represent that job to the fullest. I do think it's a very noble and honorable profession. If done righteously.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think the issue we're having nowadays is just that the institution has been militarized, mm-hmm. and so that we feel that we're occupied. Yeah. You know, I'm in East Flatbush. I'm hearing the rad siren, and we're not in Palestine. And I'm feeling you know, it's designed to scare you.
Now, do you think that African Americans, young African Americans, should dress differently? You know, because you know when I'm looking at the video. I'm looking at the guy in the video. He has a hood and jeans, baggy, and you know. And then I look at you walk up. Do you feel that we should dress more respectful and look a little better as young African Americans?
So the cop may have been taking you serious simply because you had a suit on.
There's a lot of things you can get away with when you wear a suit. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that everybody should dress in suits. Mm-hmm. I think you should dress how you feel comfortable. You know, mm-hmm. it's better to walk and carry yourself in whatever makes you feel comfortable. For me, a suit suits me.
Right.
But for the young Latino and African-American boy in the video and for the ones that I've actually worked with in New York and other cities, they can wear what they want.
Right.
But people, you should be aware that people are going to perceive you a certain way. But in no way, shape, or form do I think a classic man has to dress in a three-piece suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more important that you carry yourself. So you can wear a V-neck and jeans and Tim's and a fitted Yankee cap, and you're a classic man. Mm-hmm. You can wear a mechanic outfit and you can still be a classic man.
Preach.
It has nothing to do with the price of your garment.
Gotcha.
It has everything to do with your character.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, do you do yoga with Janelle?
I do. You know, she's taught me some new moves. tree pose. You know, all I knew was the downward dog
downward
before.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, that's what got me on.
Have you always been in the yoga, Janelle, or is it something new?
For about the last year,
okay,
I really got into it. It was one of the rituals we did when we were working on Ephes. Mm-hmm. We were working on the compilation, and we would get up. Some of us would lead it. I didn't really know anything. I started to do Bikram yoga, mm-hmm. and then or Bikram, mm-hmm. however you want to pronounce it. But I started to do that, and then recently, when we were doing the project again, I started to just experiment with different ways to be balanced, mm-hmm. and so. Yoga does balance me a lot, and I saw it as bending and never breaking. Mm. And so I just kind of apply that to my life. Like
I love Bikram yoga, but you got to shower before you do that.
She just said she don't like the shower.
That's
or
it.
When she's trying to keep the funk alive.
You said that's stinky when you go. Didn't you say that's stinky when you go?
Yeah, no. Sometimes when I go, if the people in there haven't showered, like if it's early in the morning, some people might roll out of bed and just come.
Yeah,
they might make the whole room smell.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I've smelled that before, but I go in and I have to get what I need. I can't be worrying about them stinking. I got to get my peace of mind.
Now, you say you're looking for peace of mind, balance. You say you're looking to be humbled. Like, what did you feel like you needed to change?
I just felt like
industry change you a little, maybe?
No, I wouldn't say that. Just as a person, you know, evolution is important to me and evolving.
Absolutely.
And if I'm not learning from my mistakes or too much in my head, you know, if I'm trying to be a leader and try to lead somebody, how can I lead when I'm not balanced? Mm. You know, and I think when I knew that I have these leadership qualities, I'm surrounded around Puff and, you know, I have the support of L.A. Reid and, mm-hmm. you know, the support of you know, Melody Hobson, who's an investment, an amazing investor and black woman. And I have the support of all these people. I've met George Lucas and mm-hmm. Steven Spielberg. And it's like, okay, I'm a young black girl from Kansas. I have a clear, big opportunity to move forward and to develop my business and be just as great as these people. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from, my grandmother was a sharecropper in Aberdeen, Mississippi. So I come from a line of women who have worked hard and built nothing out of something. And so I knew that there was something I can do. So when I got the opportunity to get this label and to lead in the way that I needed to, I knew that I needed to get my mind right for real. Like I wanted to make sure that when I'm feeling low and I need to be more balanced, I have to figure out ways of how to deal with that because you can get lost in the music industry.
You ever go back to Kansas to find your balance, click your heels? Go home.
Click my heels and go home. I wish it was that simple. No, I do. I was just home with my mama, and I had the opportunity to buy her first car.
Oh.
So that was like a huge thing for me last year.
I just bought my father.
Would you get a Prius?
Did you?
Last week.
No, I got our BMW.
Okay.
Yeah, I saved up, and I was like, I'm going to do a couple shows, and I'm going to get my mama a car.
A couple of shows? You could save up. I would think. Now, I've seen you perform several times. It's always been an experience, and you talk about evolving and not wanting to do what you've done previously.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen now with the live show? What's going to be different about that? Because it's always been amazing and people always discuss
Thank
that.
You. Thank you, babe. We'll see. Like, I'm excited with this project that we're putting out. And it's going to be great for the summertime. Mm-hmm. My contribution, again, is like I'm just in a space where if you know my music, I experiment with so many different sounds. Mm-hmm. And when I look to some of my heroes, like Michael Jackson, Prince, you know, even Madonna, they never repeated themselves and they always figured out new ways to shock and to reinvent themselves and so that's what I'm going to do. We have a song together called Yoga.
Really?
Yes, it's jamming as hell.
What that video's going to look like.
Oh, it's so jamming and people are not going to be able to y'all when y'all see it y'all going to be like, "Oh my God, I'm not going to give too much away, but just know that I'm not Yoga."
I'm sarcastic.
No. It's
is it about yoga literally?
It's great. You know, part party, part ponder.
Part party, part ponder. Got you. Okay.
Yeah. It's and you just have to listen to it. I want you guys to jam to it first, and hopefully you find some things in there that can help you find your way.
How many times have people asked you? Speaking of not repeating yourself, how many mm-hmm. times have people asked you to take pictures and recreate that Solange wedding photo?
I haven't been asked. Okay. And that's my friend. That was a beautiful wedding. Like those two. Alan has directed a lot of my videos mm-hmm. and you know, Solange is a friend as well. And so to even be there, I was
He did the Classic Band video, right?
He did.
Yeah, he did Classic Band. Yep. And he made a cameo. So it's all family. You know, when we get together, we try to make sure that we're creating more opportunities for each
now,
other.
Now, a lot of legendary artists have embraced you as well, people that you look up to. Mm-hmm. Who has impressed you the most that you've been like, oh, my God, I can't believe this mm-hmm. person is, you know, a Janelle Monáe fan?
Wow. Woo. We were kind of out. Again, for me, Stevie Wonder, you know, to do that tribute
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
when we did, I think it was a few days after Grammys. That was the one when mm-hmm. he, you know, reached out to me and told me that he had listened to my music and he was singing some of my lyrics and the president, you know, Michelle, the mm-hmm. first lady, Michelle Obama and mm-hmm. the president. I'm like, they are so busy in my mind leading the world.
Right.
But when you realize that your music is reaching the White House and it's in the hands of people who can change this world for better, it is definitely something that I don't take lightly. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, if y'all listening to Tightrope, and that song was about balance and about tipping on your haters and when people try to pull you down and it's about oppressive people. If they're getting that and they're doing better and doing a better job because of my music, I feel like I have a bigger responsibility.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's like the president is listening. He could be making decisions and like, you know what? I heard this girl's song today. I ain't even going. Right. I'm not even about to push that button. So.
Now, some people say, like you have a great career, but some people say Janelle Monáe should be a little bigger. Do you feel like why push other artists now when you still could be focusing on yourself?
No, because this is
makes
a,
you bigger.
Because this is a movement,
right.
And I can't do it alone. Right. I know that these artists are just as visionary as me. Mm-hmm. I know something when I see it, because and able to see the things that make me special and preserve those. It allows me to see that in other people.
Gotcha.
And so this is a movement, and I knew that it was important, and I'm glad you even mentioned that. I knew that it was important to get my tribe with me
gotcha.
To make sure that when we come in this time, we're not fucking around with y'all.
There you go.
I don't even usually cuss, but I'm about to tell y'all right
now.
That's
how serious it is.
No, it's serious. Right. It is in terms of black female artists and just black music in general. It's a lot of marginalization that has been happening. And of course, it pisses me off. I was listening to a song that I had done on The Electric Lady. And I was like, man, this song is amazing. What the hell? You know, and I'm just thinking about it. Just it's going to take more people to push forward a sound, to push forward ideas that are as big as mine.
I feel
honestly,
like they do marginalize you. Like they don't know what category to put you in.
You know, and when you think about I think it'll be great. I think with EFIS, I think with Wonderland Records, I think that this is going to be a time where I think I'm going to go somewhere different this time. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. I think when I came in, my main focus was my messaging. Just, you know, people look at the black and white and when I wear the tux and, you know, when we wear mm-hmm. uniform as like, you know, she's rebelling against, or not rebelling, but she's not trying to conform, but it was all about just being in control as a woman.
Mm.
And I think if everybody was wearing tuxedos, I might be the one that's naked. Mm. I just, you know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things where if just because I'm woman, I don't have to go into those stereotypes.
Gotcha.
But now I'm at the point where I can experiment a little bit more. I think that people know my intentions and I come in peace, but I mean business.
There you go.
Are you going to pay your artists fairly? Or are you going to do them like Puff used to do his artists back in the 90s?
Now, let me tell you, I'm not going to talk about Puff because that's who gave me my start. You know, when I got the label, I went down to Miami and I thanked him.
Right.
Yeah, I flew in just to say thank you and I left.
He's always been hands up, kind of letting you do you. It's never
absolutely.
Like, he's been like
always supported.
Put
yeah.
a little take that mm-hmm. on the song.
I never. Puff hey. Was. I'm taking the same approach.
I just want you to know she swerved a question about paying artists fairly. Just want you to
know. No, let me tell you. No, let me tell you what. They are taken care of.
Yeah,
this
we
is
are.
Family.
We
and
are.
If they ain't happy, they come. This is not
how you
Chanel.
Think I got this suit.
Exactly.
There you go.
See, look.
He said it's $50.
I give my artist suit. But no, this is more of
every penny counts.
Yeah, I do want to say this, that I don't flex as I'm the boss or I don't. We're friends. Mm-hmm. We love each other. This is a movement. I'm just here to guide. If we're on a boat, I'm captain for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I might not be, I might need them to captain me. You know, we're just there to, as any tribe, to uplift each other and to make sure that we don't fall or nobody drowns.
She's the most humble captain. I can speak that. Everything she's saying is genuine right now. I know a lot of people say that, and then behind mm-hmm. closed doors, they're not that. Janelle Monáe definitely is. So it's been a pleasure to be beside you and really never feel like you were above or below me. You were just always leaving the room for growth, but still a general at the same time.
You can't
I mean
lose
that
following a good woman, man.
Honestly,
let's have a big hug moment right there. That was positive.
Well, the EP is coming out next month. Or?
Yes, okay. It's called EPHIS, and we were inspired by baseball terminology. If nobody is familiar, I just learned it myself when we were going through it. But baseball terminology of
it's like a slow pitch or something, right?
It is. It's a game changer. And we're just excited about it. Jadena is the first with Classic Man. We're getting a lot of support on that. We'll have a song called Yoga coming out soon, as according to our soul clocks. And we have Deep Cotton, Saint Beauty, and we have Roman. And all of these artists write and produce. They're playing their instruments live. I mean, they're getting in their 10,000 hours. They're studying their heroes and realizing, because, music has changed. So much music coming out, right? So it's like, get your live performance up, work hard, stay humble, and just take it back to the old days when people were just talented as hell.
Right.
And you're so talented that they ain't got no choice but to see you.
Word.
Like, we see you. You cannot see me now. You cannot not see me right now.
Gotcha.
I'm talented, and I'm here, and I'm remarkable. So
you got everything.
We're
you're
doing
smart,
that.
You're beautiful.
Well, you
amazing
know,
teeth.
Thank you. Like, you have beautiful skin. Let me touch.
Is it a dermatologist, baby?
I love it. Y'all are so. Let me tell y'all are great, and I appreciate you guys coming and just talking to us. And again,
well, actually, you came to talk to us. But
I know.
Thank you.
Well, it's early in the morning, so my wires just went. No, let me tell you, look, this is my house.
Well,
this is my house.
Absolutely.
Thank y'all for coming to talk to me.
May 19th is the date. Make sure you pick up the album, and we appreciate you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Monet and Jadena.
There you go.
There you
absolutely,
go. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Good morning.